But I want to do something else.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Family Movie Night.
Family Movie Night.
Family Movie Night.
Family Movie Night.
I'm Dan.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Asher.
And I'm Gwen.
And here we are to talk about a movie that we watched with our kids.
But before we spoil it for you, we quickly let you know how much we like the movie and if we recommend it.
And we let our kids chime in before they go to bed.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile.
We watched the movie Trolls, and I think it was pretty good.
What'd you think, Asher?
I thought that the overall movie was pretty good.
Did you have any favorite characters?
The chef person.
You liked the chef the best. That's awesome.
All right. Gwen, what about you?
I'm not sure. Probably Branch.
What about King Peppy?
No.
I don't like him either.
All right.
Who else didn't you like, Asher?
I didn't like Guy Diamond. I didn't like the fat guy.
Biggie,
I didn't like.
Hey, what was wrong with Guy Diamond? He was all shiny and awesome, right? What didn't you like about him?
He was disgusting. He hugged himself during hug time, and he is...
Do you not want to say it?
Yeah.
Okay, why is it bad that he hugs himself during hug time?
Hug time for them is a time where they get to hug each other and make each other feel happy. But hugging himself is a sign of he wanting some happiness and not giving some to everybody else.
Okay, so he's being selfish?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And it sort of looks strange to be hugging yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like putting your arms around your back, and it looks very strange.
And you told us that you didn't like the way that he delivered his glitter.
Yeah. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Because that's not appropriate, is it?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of things that aren't that appropriate.
Right. All right. Do you have any other thoughts? Any favorite lines or any funny things?
Not for me.
Not from you? Not without spoiling the movie?
Well, what do you think the meaning of the movie was?
That happiness isn't something you put in, and sometimes you need someone to help find it.
Okay, well, Asher is 10, Gwen is 7, and our 3-year-old Ezra is already in bed. And I guess right now it's time to say goodnight. Right, kids?
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. We send the kids to bed because it's past 9 o'clock and because we don't want to crush their innocent spirits with our criticism.
If you have feedback for us, you can contact me on Twitter at Dan Hickson, or you can email feedback@familymovienight.net. Visit familymovienight.net to see show notes and other information about Family Movie Night.
If you like what you hear on Family Movie Night, please share with your friends and show your support by leaving ratings and reviews on iTunes. Even if you don't get your podcast through iTunes, an iTunes rating or review will help other people discover this podcast, and we would really appreciate your help in promoting Family New Movie Night.
All right. So what we're going to do tonight is read a micro synopsis from IMDb about the movie Trolls. After the Bergens invade Troll Village, Poppy, the happiest troll ever born, and the curmudgeon-y Branch set off on a journey to rescue her friends. All right.
So that's what it's about.
That's what it's about. So if you like trolls, then yeah. I think this movie, you know, I guess what we're talking about when we're talking about do we recommend this movie is kind of the question, would you as a discerning parent enjoy this movie? And
me as a discerning parent, I did. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you that my expectations were fairly low.
Mm-hmm.
And we waited a long time to see this. It's been out for a while.
Yep.
So I really didn't think I was going to like it, and I did like it. So there's my recommendation.
Yeah, it was good. It was solid. The no glaring plot holes.
Good storytelling.
Gwen noticed a continuity error, but not a big deal, right?
Good performances, good voice artists in this one.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, I think we say this is a safe, recommended movie.
Yeah. It's our first like thumbs up for both of us.
Sure. Yeah.
Not mixed.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's hit that spoiler klaxon and we'll see you on the other side.
All right.
Spoiler alert. All right, so we're back. We're talking about Trolls. We're going to spoil everything about it.
So if you haven't seen it and you care to not have it spoiled.
Apparently, this was based on The Good Luck Trolls by Thomas Dam.
Which I know nothing about.
No, nothing about. Neither do I. So the bad guys in this movie were called Bergen. And they would eat a troll.
To feel happiness.
To feel happy.
Because they're a very unhappy people or race or whatever monster class. And the trolls are really happy all the time.
Yes. The trolls live in a tree in the middle of...
Bergentown.
I wanted to call it Trollville, but no. Yeah, it's hard for me to think of trolls as being the good guys because so often they are villainized in movies.
Yeah.
In these evil Hollywood movies.
They're bad in Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb and stupid and huge and gross bogeys.
Troll bogeys. So what we see in the beginning is, like a Christmas morning scene with the king and his son. And
the son is waking him up like, oh, it's Trollstice today, it's Trollstice. Dad. And I'm so excited. Because it's the day of the year that they get to eat trolls. I'm not sure why they ration that, to be honest. If they're like terrible, horrible monsters that want to feel happiness, they do. They have a day where they all eat a troll. And it's called Trollstice.
Yes. And we probably won't get an opportunity to do this very often. So Jamie doesn't know this is coming. I thought we might want to do a little name dropping here.
Oh, come on. He's in there for like three lines.
I know. When Jamie was studying acting, she had a very special teacher for, was it a few weeks? A month?
It was a couple weeks, but we stayed in touch and everything.
Right.
But yeah.
John Cleese was Jamie's
acting teacher
for a little while. And that was pretty cool.
He's a very nice man.
Yes.
He's in everything.
Yes.
He's in this movie.
Yeah. I'm sure he got a very nice paycheck for the three or four lines he delivered.
Yeah. I hope so for his sake.
No, and I think John Cleese recommended some writing books to you, and that's kind of what maybe led us down this path in a way of really dissecting story and movies and stuff.
And the way that it's put together,
So I think that's kind of, you know, anyway, I just...
Kind of a weird full circle.
Yeah, I felt like I could mention it.
I was going to glide right by that, actually, so...
I know, I'm shameless. But the trolls escape.
They do.
Through tunnels.
Yes.
King Peppy leads the trolls through the tunnels, shouting, "No troll left behind." It's fun.
And in the end, they have a butt joke, of course, because no troll left behind. He's somehow lost his clothes all along the way, and he's butt naked.
Yes. You know why he lost his clothes.
Because he was helping other trolls.
He's keeping their feet out of mud and puddles,
and he's got
silly.
Slingshot by his underwear or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what... I think that's one of the holdbacks that Asher had about this movie. He's not comfortable with nudity, and neither am I, but there were a lot of troll bums in this
glitter
movie.
Glitter farts and cupcake poops and all kinds of stuff like that, right? But yeah, I mean, if they would have left it out, it would have been a better movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to any comedian and they're like, oh yeah, the if you start cussing, if you start talking about like lowbrow stuff, that's like a no-brainer way to like make people laugh. It's like the lower form of comedy for sure. Like even people who aren't offended by that stuff, they think that it's like, oh, that's a cheap laugh, you know? So, you know, there's a lot of cheap laughs, but not a big deal.
Yeah. Well, they have a big party. One thing that was a little disorienting to me were there were trolls and there were Bergens. They were clearly delineated and presented. But in the troll community, there were other creatures that I did not recognize and they never named.
That's true.
Like a four-legged horse kind of guy that you know, yes, maybe was a troll.
With a long neck kind of giraffe-y, yeah. And there was like a weird little wormy dude.
Wormy and, baby guys. Yeah. And yeah, and they never really
mentioned,
yeah, which is fine. You know, it was fine in this movie because it was, everything else was, you know, solid and well put together. But I was like, what is that guy? You know, is he a troll? I don't know. Anyway. Yeah,
that actually didn't even come up in my brain. I noticed, it didn't bother me.
The longer you watch the movie, the more psychedelic it becomes. And so, yeah, after a while, you know, like, especially if you knock me over, I will get back up again songs.
Oh, yes.
It's like a
crazy stuff,
fever
man.
Dream. Yeah. Yeah,
it totally is. And a lot of the songs are actually like fever dreams. But anyway, right. We forgot to mention that this big mm-hmm. party that they're throwing is 20 years later. It's like mm-hmm. in celebration of them escaping the Bergens and being in hiding and whatever. And of course, the smart and sad Gray Branch is like, you guys are crazy. I'm not coming to your party. You're going to be super loud and the Bergens are going to come and they're going to find us and they're going to eat us. And he is the voice of reason because after this big party, it is shown very clearly their location because there's lights and glitter like everywhere mm-hmm. and it's super loud. And of course the Bergen cook who got thrown out of the kingdom because she lost the trolls. I don't know why she was in charge of that, but they blamed it on her. They threw her out. She's been looking for the trolls for 20 years apparently. And she sees them and she's like, ah, I gotcha. So she shows up and she starts putting trolls in her fanny pack.
Fanny pack. It was nice.
Yeah, I love that. One of the messages of this movie, I think, is that partying is dangerous. Probably not, but...
No. So Princess Poppy evades capture. King Peppy, they have different last names.
I think they're just different first names.
Yeah. King Peppy is like, okay, well, we got to get out of here. Now they know where we are. And she's like, well, no, we got to save our friends, which she was great. She had courage and yes. hope, and she was a great character.
And I thought that was kind of cool, that torch passing, you know, like that he had so much bravery, and he's the one that freed everyone.
Freed him in the first place.
And really sacrificed to get everybody free. And then he was like, I'm out of that juice, you know, right. Like I can't do that anymore. And she's like, well, I can, and I'm gonna, you know, like yeah. I want to be like you were. So I thought that was actually kind of cool.
Yeah. And, you know, he didn't force that on her, right? She took up the mantle, you know, she decided.
Yeah.
That she
and
was
he was like,
it.
Okay, sure, I'll let you do that, you know? But yeah, she wants for some reason Branch to come with her. Oh, because he knows
He knows the most. Yeah.
Because he's the most paranoid.
Right. He's a doomsday prepper.
Yes.
We find out.
He has a bunker mm-hmm. that has several levels, mm-hmm. one with
traps.
Filled with traps. and the other one is, he says
full
it is,
food.
Yeah, like 10 years of food or whatever, 11 if he saves his sweat and drinks it or something. I don't know. Anyway, and there's lots of little lines like that I think are totally funny, like, mm-hmm. and they're delivered really well. Like Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendrick, they do mm-hmm. such a good job, I think, with their voice acting. So anyway, she leaves him down there, like, as a burn, you know, like, okay, well, and then she goes by herself. And I think this is the one song from the whole movie that was made for the movie.
I didn't recognize it.
Well, and the lyrics were fairly specific to what she was doing. Yeah.
So the movie is kind of like a musical, but all the songs in it are pop songs from the last 4 decades or so.
Yes.
It's nice. It's well done. The gently remixed generally, and the performances are good.
Yeah, and the orchestration or whatever you want to call it is really good and everything mm-hmm. as well. So like there are songs that I don't necessarily like care for mm-hmm. that I thought were done very well in the movie, which I think is saying something. I think that's really good.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but this song was new to us, and so we're assuming that it was written for the movie and because of the specificity of the lyrics. But it's a great song. I don't know. It's not like the greatest song, but the chorus is, if you knock me over, I will get back up again.
Which is so positive and great.
Yeah. Yeah, she has a great way to establish her character.
One of the things that happens in the song that I thought was really weird, that kind of threw me off a little bit for the timetable of how long she was out, was they showed her like walking through all the different seasons, like through snow and whatever. And so I was like, oh, this is like a long journey because, you know...
But it was 3 hours later, right, that he shows up?
Because he comes to save her, and it's like, oh, okay. Well, so she the fever dream part of that is like, okay, but just when you're trying to follow the story, it's like, oh, this took forever, but it really didn't. It took 3 hours. So anyway, Branch comes and saves her. He uses his hair as a whip to whip back the spiders that are about to devour her, and then he, like, you know, rips open her cocoon web and then gets two electrical bugs to like shock her back to life or whatever, and she's just like, oh, I knew you'd come, great, you know, whatever. Her positivity is pretty amazing. And he's like, at first when she's trying to convince him to come out with her, it seems like there's no way he's going to do that. Like, it would not matter what, you know. And then he shows up, and it seems like it's because he wants to help her and he cares about her.
Mm-hmm. And you see that too with the invitations that he's saved in his bunker.
Yeah. So we get a couple little hints that he maybe just wants to help her out and he likes her. Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, she's one of the things that she does is she scrapbooks. And so sometimes on the screen, you see like this kind of storytelling by scrapbooking and it looks really cool. It I like the really look cool. of it.
And it's a great way for exposition to occur, right? Yes. It's kind of like in heist movies, how they're explaining the heist and then they show it in an abstract form. It's great. It's a really good way to do exposition, especially future events.
They also use it a lot all throughout.
Speaking of the way that things look, everything is very fuzzy. Everything looks like it's felt, which is cool, you know. But yeah, her psychedelic song or whatever, that whole land like had a very felty texture, and it stood out to me.
So the look of it is kind of cool. I liked how Branch said, like, you know, what's the plan? And she's like...
She said, we go to Bergen, we free our friends, and then we come home safe and sound. And he's like, that's not a plan, that's a wish list.
And I loved that. Mm-hmm. I was like, what a good thing to teach kids. Right. It's like, no, a plan is like an actual legit, like, we have to plan it step by step. Things need to happen and occur, and we need to try to, like, you know, cross the... It's not like some random goal in the future. I don't know. I really liked that. Yeah.
They explore the juxtaposition of optimism and pessimism.
Mm-hmm. And I like that a lot. Yeah,
because she's like, what's your plan? And he says, well, we'll go through the tunnels that we escaped through, and then we'll show up, and then we'll get eaten. Right? Like, so, you know, his plan was...
He has steps, but it ends in death, so... Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they get to the tunnels, and this weird cloud character...
Oh, man.
Pretty random, but pretty funny.
I thought that that was like the weirdest character in the entire movie. And I mean, you and thought he was funny, and I think most people think he's funny. I thought he was just weird, you know, like, and sure, there were some funny things surrounding him, I guess. But I was just like, what is this? Yeah, like, I didn't understand.
They wanted to make the movie 2 minutes longer, so they added him.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, he helps them through the tunnels, and they're in Bergen, and they find their way to the King's Place. And
but the kids loved this song, because right when they when they go into Bergen, it's that I ain't happy, I'm feeling bad, I got sunshine in a bag. And it's really well done. Yeah. Like, it's really kind of fun and quirky, and I don't know, it shows the flavor of the town, I think, really well.
Yeah. And there are very few songs that say I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
Way to go, Gorillaz.
I know. You cornered that market.
They're in Bergen now, and they go to the castle, and I don't know what comes next.
So the trolls go to the castle. They see this scullery maid, and she is voiced by Zoe Deschanel, who does an amazing job. I did not know that that was her. She sounds really different.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's kind of like a raspy, breathy, nerdy. Scully
maid. Yeah, I don't know. It's really fantastic. She does a great job.
Yeah, and she sings Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
Again, really fever dream, but yeah. it is funny.
It sounds like Zoe when she's singing that song, and it sounds great.
And it's it establishes that she has a huge crush on the king.
Mm-hmm.
So these trolls see that they have an opportunity through Bridget. So Bridget has a Cinderella moment. The trolls say, we can help you. We need to get close to the king because the king is the person who has Creek. And Creek is someone who is Poppy's special friend.
Mm-hmm.
They like each other or whatever, I guess. Who knows? You can tell. Sort of.
Oh, you thought there was a romantic
thing?
Yes. Oh, okay.
Well, they're like booping each other's noses and like, you know, I don't know.
Okay. I didn't notice.
And she always kind of says like, Poppy's like, oh, my special friend, you know, Creek or whatever. So it seems like they had a thing going.
Okay.
Which makes his later actions all the more despicable.
Yeah. So they see the king put Creek into his mouth and he runs out of the room and they all think he's eaten except for Poppy, who believes hopes he's still alive. And so they help the scullery maid go on a date with the king.
They transform Bridget into Princess Glitter Sparkles.
They give her a makeover.
She gets troll hair as her wig, basically.
Yeah,
all the trolls are standing on her head and giving her hair that's magical. And she wears like this jumper.
Jumpsuit.
Then the king sees her as he's trying on bibs in a store and is like, well, hello there. Let's go out to a roller skating date. And she says, oh, of course, you know. So I don't know why this place even exists, this roller skating thing in Bergentown. Because why would anyone skate? But whatever. It exists, and they go, and they have like the time of their life, and the trolls are telling her what to say, giving her advice and everything like that. And then this is the first time that we hear...
Ranch say something positive. He speaks romantically.
Says some Shakespeare.
Yeah. What was the name of that movie that they based that other movie on?
You'll have to give me a little bit more than that.
All right. Steve Martin, Big Nose.
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Thank you.
Roxanne.
Yes. He pulls a Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yes. And
just for a couple lines.
Yeah.
But they were happy.
Yeah. They were having the time of their lives. And
you keep using that phrase, but they never sang that song.
That's true. They should have, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Later in the sequel, they'll go back. They'll
Trolls
remember.
The sequel.
Yeah.
So the cook is there and Bridget like works for her, but she's, I guess, maybe made up enough. When I'm first seeing the cook look at her and the way that the cook is treating her and talking to her, it totally seems like the cook knows who she is, you know? She seems like she knows, but then later she seems surprised.
Right.
So anyway, she lights out of there super quick because she doesn't want to be discovered. But before she does, she says that she'll be the king's plus one at the Trollstice celebration dinner. Mm-hmm. So,
and to complete this Cinderella night,
she
leaves a skate on the staircase, which was great.
Yeah, which the king tries to kiss and...
and hurts his lips.
Hurts his lips.
The wheel's spinning.
It's pretty funny. Oh, man. I didn't mention this, but I loved it. When they were trying to convince Bridget to let them do the makeover, they were singing. And the only person that didn't sing was
Branch.
Because singing killed my grandma, okay? I was like, maybe you should have like reworded that or delivered it differently or whatever. The way that it came out was like, are you for real? Like, I don't know. It just was really silly sounding to me. I don't know. Did it seem like that to you?
I don't know. Yeah, it seemed fine. It seemed surprising, right? Because, you know, singing rarely is fatal.
But then his story, he tells it and it's sad and it makes sense and it's fine, right? Yeah. Like it's not like the rest of it is silly to me. It's just that one line was silly to me
and
the way that it came out.
Yeah. And I guess I knew the explanation was coming, right? I don't know. Maybe that's why I was able to digest it easier.
Yeah. I don't know. The first time they're like, why won't you sing, Branch? And he's like, because singing killed my grandma. Yeah. Okay. It was just this funny, maybe over dramatic,
Okay.
strange,
yeah,
strange thing to say, you know, like, I don't know. I thought it was weird, but then his story was really sad. He was like, no, it was my singing that killed my grandma. I was singing and I was lost in my song. And she said I had the voice of an angel, you know, which I thought was great for Justin Timberlake.
Right. No. Yeah. I appreciate that line because it was at the end where she says something like, what does she say?
I always thought you didn't sing because
you weren't any good.
You didn't have a good voice. And he's like, no, it was like an angel's.
Yeah. That was,
at least what my grandma said. I thought that was great.
Yeah. I loved, that was one of my favorite lines. No. Yeah. Oh no. Very matter of factly, it was like an angel's. It was great.
But he hasn't sung since because it made the Bergen's attention go to him when he was singing and the grandma pushed him out of the way and she got the grandma instead. So anyway, that was one of my favorite little moments and we kind of passed over it. So I thought I'd go back.
And it's, you know, thinking of the actor, you know, saying something that, you know, is kind of funny, knowing who he is, makes me bemoan the fact that they didn't cast Matthew McConaughey in this movie because all the trolls are shirtless. So
you could have been any troll.
Any troll would have been perfect.
I know. Come on, guys. Okay. So I kind of love that when they come back, Bridget is like over the moon, excited and happy. She's like, I've had the best time. Thank you so much. So now a Bergen and a bunch of trolls are friends, which I think is really cool. And they helped her to find happiness without having to ingest any of them, which I thought was really cool as well.
But they don't acknowledge that, right? You know,
right.
She hasn't noticed that she was happy or given it that name, but she felt great. Anyway.
Yeah. She said it was the best night of her life.
Mm-hmm.
She's had the time of her life. Just want to use that like several times.
Start writing trolls too.
Yeah, I know. Use that song.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the trolls are like, okay, we got to go and sneak in and find Creek.
Mm-hmm. They go into the king's place and get the other roller skate and take the thing. They escape the dog that's actually an alligator.
Crocodile or something.
Uh-huh. And then they drive the roller skate to safety. But then the next day, the king has that roller skate again. But it's fine because the movie's okay.
Yeah. We can forgive a lot of things when the movie is pretty good.
And we said that last time. Talking about Sing, and we're trying to prove that it's true. Even though we still notice, but it's not the end of the world. Gwen noticed a continuity error too later.
Yeah, well,
I'll tell you when
when we get there, because we're already going back and forth all over the place. It's hard to keep track of what's going on. Creek was played by Russell Brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
really funny.
Yeah. He does a good job as well. I keep saying that. And I feel like when the movie's good, maybe our podcasts aren't as good. I don't know.
You let us know, listeners. Please get in touch. Feedback at
familymovienight.net.
I can't even say it. Familymovienight.net.
Okay.
It's .com. It's not .com. That was a Homestar Runner
joke. In case you've ever heard of Homestar Runner, if you watch.
If you haven't,
you should look them up.
Yeah.
Because they're great.
You got hours of entertainment.
Like days of entertainment.
Days of entertainment. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway, they find out that Creek really did not want to be eaten. This little role reversal character thing for me was a little reminiscent of Hans from Frozen. Kind of came out of nowhere. Wasn't super.
I think Hans's was more offensive because supposedly Hans was always plotting to take over the kingdom, where Creek had,
it was an opportunity,
is a survival,
it was an opportunity thing,
and it's not ambition, it's survival that he is trying to do. So anyway, but the way that he almost relishes the fact that he's gonna live and they're not,
and he's
taunting
like,
them.
Well, I'm doing you a favor because at least you get to die with some dignity and I won't get that happy choice or whatever.
No, that was
which
terrible.
Is pretty
right. It's like something a villain would say.
Yeah, I mean, like, really, he should have just been a sniveling, you know, whatever until the end. Mm-hmm. But you know, he takes the bell from Poppy that's supposed to be the signal
cowbell.
That like, okay, all is fine and clear, and then he goes back to where all the trolls are hiding. He rings the bell and then they're all collected so that all the trolls now are in Bergen Town and in a pot, and everybody's going to die. Mm-hmm. So, and they're getting ready for the Trollstice feast. They're in this big pot.
Poppy admits that Branch was right all along, that she couldn't make a difference, that she had failed, that her optimism had led more people to danger instead of its intended effect.
And she turns gray, mm-hmm. like Branch has always been gray.
He was less colorful than the rest of them. But yeah, she goes completely grayscale.
And so does everyone else, all of the trolls. And we both thought this, actually, as we were watching this, we were like, well, if the Bergens eat them right now, then will they not be happy? Because these mm-hmm. gray trolls are not happy. So mm-hmm. like, would they taste like despair or something?
We never got to find out, but in Trolls 2,
maybe we will.
We'll find out the answer to that question.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that that was going to be like their way to solve the problem. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but actually what happens, and I kind of, this is like one of my favorite parts of the whole movie, is Justin Timberlake, Branch, is looking at her and looking at all these gray trolls, and he decides this is the moment he's going to be mm-hmm. making a difference. This is when he's going to use his angel voice.
and optimism, right? That he hasn't shown until now.
Yes.
But yeah, he does believe in at least Poppy.
Yes.
And
during the song, which is True Colors, by the mm-hmm. way.
Which is a little on the nose, but kind of great also.
I know. I really loved it because, to be honest, it's like an old song that's kind of like elevator music-y, mm-hmm. and it's not my favorite song, but I thought that it was used so well in this moment that I just didn't even care. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I like this song now. I don't know. I thought that they performed it really, really well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was on the nose, but it was kind of perfect for the yep. situation. And I thought, hey, this is all good to me. So yeah.
Sometimes you can be on the nose and pull it off.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they did that with like all these songs, right. actually. Right. Like the right. Hello, Is It Me You're Looking For? And I Ain't Happy, whatever that song is called, mm-hmm. The Gorillaz song, and The Sound of Silence, which was yep. really great.
Yeah.
They
did it.
And this moment was just like so perfect. They used a lot of silence and they used a lot of like time in between, which I think they needed, because if suddenly he started singing and everything was colorful, it would have been lame. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that they probably fine tuned this part of it a lot, which shows because it totally works.
Yeah. So the hug time watch alarms went off I loved to the that. Tune.
And yeah. It was, yeah. Yeah. Because, and also her hug alarm goes off. And she covers it, mm-hmm. you know, which I think is great to show that struggle mm-hmm. of like, I'm not happy. I'm still not happy, even though you're trying to make me happy.
Yeah.
You know, I really loved that. And then like he kept singing and kept trying, being persistent and really like reminding her of who she is, you know, and then she gets her colors back and everyone else does, including Branch. He gets his mm-hmm. color back too. And he hasn't had it this entire time.
Purpley blue hair
yeah.
instead of black.
Yeah. But no, I really yeah. did love that part.
So they fill the cauldron with hope and unbeknownst to them,
Bridget is in charge of bringing them into the banquet.
And she's listening, right? She hears them singing. She hears Branch singing and she's inspired and then sets them free.
She takes them to the outside of the castle and says, all right, you guys are free.
She dumps the cauldron outside. And this is the continuity thing. Gwen said, she took that cauldron outside, but she didn't bring it in. See, she's going in the door without it. But later, she's going to have it again.
Clever girl.
Yeah. I just love it when our kids know, notice that kind of stuff.
I know, because I didn't even notice it. But
like, yeah, that's a continuity error.
Yeah. So anyway, the trolls are concerned for Bridget because they are genuinely friends with her. And they say, well, you can't go back in without us because you know what they'll do to you. Like if you come with no trolls, you're going to get killed or something. And she's like, oh, that's okay. You guys don't deserve to die. There you go. So she actually like nudges them out the door, closes the door on them, goes into the banquet hall without them. They open up. The cook says, what have you done? You greedy, nasty little thing. Did you eat them all? You know? And she just kind of sits there and takes it like that. She's mm-hmm. taken responsibility for this moment or whatever. And then the trolls, or the ones that helped Bridget in the first place, all those trolls come flying in on a roller skate and
land
dive
on her head.
For her head and help her become Princess Glitter Sparkles really quickly again. And the king sees it and goes, oh, you know, like, so she's revealed to the king. The trolls are there again. The cook is trying to like make the king eat, I think, Branch, one of the trolls. And then the trolls and Bridget and the king are all kind of like, no, wait, let's see if there's another way to make you guys happy. Because Poppy says, well, the king and Bridget were really happy the other day. And they're like, well, what was that feeling? Because they didn't know. And I thought I had just eaten too much pizza. Me too, you know, whatever. And they're like, no, that was happiness. And so then I think that everything comes to a little bit of an abrupt end when they're like, okay, let's dance it out. And then they dance and that's kind of the end of the movie. So it's like a little bit abrupt, I think, at the end there. But all of the Bergens, you know, I think it's also a really smart way to show that joy spreading, showing the Bergens like getting on board. And, you know, like dancing can help you be happier, I guess. So, you know, like I think that worked, but it was just a little rushed, I think. And the cook gets banished, by the way. She gets shoved out and she has one troll in her fanny pack and that's Creek. And if you see past the credits, you see that they both meet an untimely end by being swallowed by a mountainous monster.
But yeah, I really admired Poppy's courage at the end. She wants to go back to save Bridget. And she says, she deserves to be happy. Everyone does.
Yeah.
And I loved how she cared about her enemies.
Yeah.
Right? And she had courage to risk her own life to save her enemies, right? And to teach them about happiness.
A lot of people had heroic moments, I felt. Bridget was a hero, you know? I mean, those trolls were totally going to be food. I felt like Poppy was a hero over and over again. Branch was a hero, you know? So there were a lot of little victories and a lot of lessons, I think, in this movie that I thought were good.
That goes a long way in us recommending it for parents and for kids to watch together.
If the moral of the story or the themes of the story had been weaker, I would just kind of be like, meh, you know? Like, and even though it had, like I said, great performances and funny, a lot of funny lines and great music and stuff like that, I still would kind of be meh about it unless, you know, like it had what it had, which was, you know, all these great ideas and good things presented in creative and good ways to, you know, I want my kids to learn, you know, that they need to make their, not only their friends happy, but also the people that they view as harder to love, you know?
It wasn't, you know, groundbreaking. It wasn't, you know, it was fairly predictable, right? You know, when you meet Branch, you know the Branch is going to, you know, come around. You know, you're not surprised very much by the general plot. You know, oh, Branch is dragging his feet, but he's going to turn around eventually in a key moment.
But I do think that they had enough moments where you were kind of surprised, right?
Yeah.
Enough moments where you're like, oh, I thought they were going to go this direction, but they went this direction. And it wasn't overall plot stuff, but it was still, you know, from scene to scene, there were surprises.
Yeah.
So I think that also goes a long way in me recommending it. Not the entire movie was predictable.
Right.
There were still, even though the overall arc of everything, I mean, but really you could say that about a lot of movies.
Right. And it doesn't need to be unpredictable to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have these archetypes for a reason and stuff. So I really was impressed with the music because I would say like 90% of those songs are songs that I would not listen to like by choice, you know, but the way that they did them was delightful.
Yeah. I had another thought during the roller skating scene, they're dancing, you know, roller skating, you know, falling in love. And I had like a body image
thing
where I was like, hey, look, there's a movie and then these are round characters.
Kind of ugly creatures.
Yeah. And it,
they've got like unibrows and like weird warts and like strange
crooked teeth.
Yeah.
And jagged.
Terrible teeth.
But it, and maybe they were doing it like for comedic effect, but it felt like they weren't. It felt like they were just like, hey, these people like each other and it's not ironic
I agree with you.
It's just genuine, and it felt good, you know.
And to like have... everyone deserves love, and everyone mm-hmm. deserves a chance to be happy and to, mm-hmm. to have positivity in their lives. Because even the trolls, they're not good looking either, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's not like we have any, like, mm-hmm. babelicious characters in this. There's no like Bratz doll, you know.
Right.
There's no fairies or anything like yeah. that. Everything looks imperfect, and I love that.
Yeah. And I mean, all the trolls basically have the same body, right?
Yeah.
And that's great. And all the Bergen are totally weird, and that's fine. And yeah, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they still have thoughts and feelings, and they're still people or mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, they're not humans, but you mm-hmm. know.
Non-humans are people too.
Yes.
All right, well, are we done?
I think we are.
All right. Thanks.
Hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoy Trolls if you see it, or did see it. That was terrible.
Well, I hope that too.
I've been alone with you inside my mind, and in my dreams I've kissed your lips a thousand times. I sometimes see you pass outside.